friends, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in the Seattle area. But today, actually, I'm in Cusco, Peru, 8,000 feet above sea level, not far from Machu Picchu, one of the most spiritual places and beautiful places in the entire world. I'm on Skype, and today's show, I guarantee, will be really incredible because we'll be having several Inca shamans who will be channeling the ancient Incas messages from them for humanity on how we can make this world a much better and happier place. And with that, I'd like to introduce my good friend, Jimmy Caballes. Jimmy, say hi to my audience.
Hi, and good afternoon, my friends.
Wonderful. I'll have Jimmy here on in a little while, but I wanted to introduce him to everybody first. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I know that if we all work together, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. I want to thank everyone around the world so much for their support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 150,000 listeners in 70 countries. I have very special people for today's show. The first will be one of America's best psychics, a wonderful lady named Julie Calley from the Los Angeles area, who will start the show by channeling ancient Inca spirits, followed by a shaman named Augustine and his son Santos, who are both shaman. And I may be putting on Jimmy first because I just got a message from Augustine and his son. They may be running late. I'll be asking about the fascinating history of the Incas and how we can make this world a better place. Jimmy will also be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next year in Olympia, Washington on March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And this will be a very rare opportunity to actually to meet and speak with an Inca shaman from Peru. So I urge you to come. It should be an incredible conference. The shows, both shows today from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. will be devoted to the Incas and their messages for humanity. And I want to also thank the wonderful Casa de la Gringa in beautiful Cusco, Peru. If you are in Cusco, I urge you to stay here. The management's wonderful. It's actually what I consider the metaphysical and spiritual center of Cusco. There are many psychics here giving readings all the time, and their email address is casadelagringocusco@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to mention some wonderful upcoming events. From October 26th to the 29th, just in a few weeks, there'll be a wonderful water conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. There'll be many famous speakers at the conference, including our own Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington in Seattle. Part of the conference will be devoted to the memory of water in honor of Professor Jacques Benveniste from Paris, France, who discovered that water had memory. I'll be also having a show on the water conference one week from today with some famous Russian and German scientists. And part of the show on October 20th will also honor Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away, unfortunately, 4 years ago on October 17th, 2014. For more information about this wonderful water conference in Bulgaria, please visit their website at www.waterconference.org. I want to thank everyone so much for their support of Out of This World Radio, because for a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can and will make a much better and happier planet. With that, I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage and the bookstore and spiritual center in Tacoma, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 70 countries. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting the show, my friends in Telos and the Hollow Earth who have been guiding me, as well as my new friends from the Pleiades who are with me today, as well as my beautiful ancient Inca spirits who are guiding me, and everyone around the world who has supported my show, so many people to list, especially Marco in Finland, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Louise in Bellevue, Washington, Jan Rossini in California, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and lots of other people, and I just appreciate your support so much. I want to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones or who passed on, or get some good spiritual advice from your guides, please just send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll free at 1-888-879-8339 in the United States and Canada. I want to share with everyone a little story that happened to me just a couple days ago. You know, when you're traveling, unexpected things can happen. And I was walking through a local market here in Peru. Actually, it was yesterday. An envelope containing most of my U.S. dollars fell out of my pocket, and I didn't get it back. So now I'm a little short on traveling, getting back to the U.S. next week. For anyone who'd like to – I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but anyone who'd like to help donate to help me out, I really appreciate any assistance. If you'd like to donate, please use PayPal using this email address, which is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll be also very happy to give anyone a good reading after I return to the United States on October 18th for any donation, and any amount would be really appreciated. Thank you so much. Before we start today, I'd also like to ask everyone to please send lots of love and light to those in Las Vegas who suffered from that tragic shooting last week, and to those devastated and suffering from the fires in the Napa and Sonoma area in Northern California, and those hurt from the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, Florida, and other places in the Caribbean and the American southern states. I'd also like to ask everyone to send lots of love and light today to my good friend in Orion in Bend, Oregon. He's still suffering cancer in his throat, and I know your prayers will really help. With that, I'd also like to ask everyone to please send lots of love and light to Dr. William Mount in Tacoma, Washington, to help him feel better. And thank you so much, because I know your prayers will really help. My friend Judy Callie in Los Angeles will not be available for a few more minutes. So what I'd like to do is to bring on my my friend Jimmy. He is a Peruvian Inca shaman, and he has a lot of wisdom regarding the Inca civilization and messages as well from his work. Jimmy, welcome to the program. I'm so happy you could be here today.
Yeah, thank you so much, my friends. I am very happy today to meet my friend Ted. Simon, my other friend, introduced him. And I am very happy that people like Ted is interested in to know about the Inca's cosmovision and Andean cosmovision, no? Today, I received a lot of message from my spiritual Inca's guide for him, no? For example, one message that I received for Ted was about technique to bring more people here to Peru to teach about the Andean cosmovision that is very important, no? For example, in the Incas time, they believe a lot in a spiritual animal like totems, and they believe in mountains, no? For example, in the Andean cosmovision, they had three animals of power, no? The first is the snake. The snake represents your past, no? Puma represent your present, and Condor represent your future, no?
Jimmy, just to make sure my audience understands, you said that the snake represents your past, the puma represents your present time, and the condor represents your future. Yes. And when you told me that earlier today, that I saw this in my mind, Jimmy, I saw this condor flying high above the mountains here. And it makes sense, because a condor can see for miles and miles and miles, like my song that I play from the Who at the beginning of every show, that you can see for miles and miles, and that's what you do when you see into the future.
And it's very important to know that now Cusco, especially Peru, is the bioenergetic place over the world, no? In the past 2,000 years ago was the Himalayas. Now it's Peru. It's the reason that many spiritual people are coming to Peru to start a very spiritual journey, no? That is very important. Peruvians are very proud that many people like that, or people over the world, visit this beautiful country, no?
I have to share this story with you. I was at Machu Picchu 2 days ago, and when I was there, I learned that in 1885, only 100,000 people a year visited Machu Picchu. This year, believe it or not, it's like 1.2 million per year which visit Machu Picchu. And I talked to a lot of people who were there when I was up there a couple days ago, And whether they realize it or not, so many people are there because they're on a spiritual journey and they want spiritual guidance and teachings. And even though they're attracted, they feel very attracted to coming to Machu Picchu. It's such a beautiful place. It must be about 12,000 feet up. I mean, it's high. And when you get up there, you can see for miles and miles and miles. One of the things that I did when I was there, in June, I was at Mount Shasta. I met a wonderful lady there named April, and she had had these very small crystals. They were only maybe a fourth of an inch long, and they were infused with the energy of the Giza in the pyramid. She was there last year, and she had several of them, and she gave me one, and she told me to deposit it at a spiritual place for world peace, which I agreed to do. So now, when I was at Machu Picchu two days ago, I went to a sacred Indian springs there, used by the Incas for many thousands of years, and I put this little tiny crystal. It was about a quarter inch in the spring. Now, when I held that crystal, it felt like I had just a fantastic feeling of this glowing energy on my hand. It was completely it started illuminating my hand, and I could feel the vibration in it. So I put it into the and I can feel that vibration now. I put it into this little tiny crystal into this sacred pool, and for world peace. But it was an amazing experience. One thing I want to ask Jimmy about now is that the Incas used animals as totems in their own spiritual development. And you said earlier that because the condor flies so high, that hummingbirds are the messengers for the condors. Is that right to people?
Exactly, yeah. Because the condors, they fly at very high altitude, probably 5,000, 6,000 meters of altitude. The people that they are going to do a spiritual connect with the condor probably cannot do. But when the hummingbird appears, is because it's part of the condor, no? If you see a hummingbird close to you here in Cusco, it's probably the message of the condor, no? It's very important to know this.
You have to realize I've also in the United States, of course, we have hummingbirds as well. And if you've ever been around a garden, you're having a beautiful time, and suddenly I've had the experience of where hummingbirds actually come up and start visiting with me. They come within inches of my face, and they're just checking me out. I don't know if anybody has ever had that experience before, but animals often will convey messages from the spirit world to you. Sometimes a butterfly may land on you. Actually, it happened to me in Machu Picchu too, where this beautiful red and black butterfly landed right on my arm. I was hiking up this trail, and we sat there and we talked for a while, and then I said, "Have a good day," and then he flew up. But he wasn't afraid of me at all. And for many people coming to Peru, it's a sense of deja vu. I know that a year ago I had this dream of riding in a taxi on this mountain road, and then going into this beautiful valley, which was all terraced. And guess what? 3 days ago or 4 days ago, that was the dream I had. I dreamt a year ago of coming here. And at that time, I had no plans to come here to Peru. But I traveled in time. And when I saw this valley, we went to a small city outside of Cusco called Pisac, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's a beautiful ancient Inca town. But we turned around this corner on this mountain road, and suddenly I saw the scene that I had seen in my dream a year before. So I was completely flabbergasted. I said, "Oh my goodness, this is what I saw a year ago." And then everything started to make sense. I've been in touch with my Inca spirit friends now, and I actually have an Inca brother with me who's with me all the time. And last night, I also found out, too, that I have someone as well from the Pleiades who's also with me as well, guiding me. So there's a lot of spirits around here, and we'll be getting into that later in the program with Judy Kelly. One thing I want to ask Jimmy about, you mentioned before about the APU, APU, the spiritual protectors for the Incas. Could you explain this to my audience, please?
Of course. In the Incas time, an Apu. Apu is a Quechua name that in English is mountain. The Incas believe a lot in the Apus, no? Because the Apus for Incas were alive mountains that only Incas need to stay so close to the Apus to receive the guidance, to receive the knowledge, and to receive the wisdom, no? Anapu, you can see Anapu like a spiritual guard or like an ancestor, no? Before I listened Ted, that he was talking about deja vus, no? Normally deja vus here in Cusco, you can listen the call of deja vu in portal of energy. For example, Pisac is a portal of energy, no? Probably in portal of energy like Pisac, like Machu Picchu, Lhasa Xiamen, you can feel this kind of deja vus, no? And deja vus, sometimes they are part of your past life, no? Probably you were living a past life in Cusco, in Peru, no? Normally appears the deja vus.
Wonderful. That is so incredible. I've just been notified, just but learned that my good friend Judy Calley is on the line, and I want to bring her in now and join us in this discussion. And anyway, I'll let I'll, Eric, let me know when you get Judy on the line. In the
I'm
meantime,
here.
oh good. Judy, it's nice to have you.
I'm here.
Oh, good. For all my listeners around the world who don't know Judy, I consider her one of the best psychics in the United States and Canada. And she's a wonderful person who she's got a heart of gold, and she's really excellent in her mediumship. Every time when I call her during the day, she's usually doing a reading, but it gets after a while. I hope she can take a break one of these days. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if you were listening to Jimmy or not, but he's a
No. Are you cooking? No.
oh, yes, oh, turn it off. Yeah, they just reminded me that I was cooking my lunch and I forgot about it. So anyway, so I asked him to turn off my spaghetti. So anyway, so. Anyway, so but they looked worried. They look worried now, but it's fine now. One of the things that you told me, Jimmy, and I want to share this with you too, Judy, is that there's a Hopi Indian prophecy that when the
Condors.
condors, yeah, could you tell that story, please?
Yeah, this history is about a Hopi prophecy that says when condor and eagles fly together, Americas is changing the consciousness, no? For healing especially, no? And in my case, I can reproduce this like encounter of humans. For example, me, I am the condor and Ted is the eagle, no?
Oh,
We
yeah.
need to share this kind of knowledge, no?
Right,
For to
right.
share other people.
Right,
Yeah.
right. I'm from North America, where the
Exactly.
eagle is,
Exactly.
and Jimmy's from South America, where
Yeah.
the condor is.
It's the reason that
Absolutely.
yesterday I was collecting eagle feather, and today my spiritual guide say, please, the feathers are for tech. It was
Yeah,
perfect.
thank you. Thank you so
Yeah.
much. Thank you so much. Well, I want to bring Judy in now. Judy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
I am thrilled to be here, and the sacredness of the heart that are here today is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Wow, that's such a good, nice thing to say. You're picking that up from Jimmy, myself, and the audience, and that's
Yes,
nice. Thank you.
there's all these elders that are all around us, all these indigenous elders, and it almost makes me want to cry. They're just beautiful.
Oh, how beautiful. Well, thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I remember also I have to ask you about our, of course, our president, Jack Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy are with me on the trip. Are they enjoying themselves? Have I been showing them around enough? And are they liking what they see?
They're telling me, first of all, they like the animals. They're enjoying the animals. And
Oh.
they're telling me that they're having a different understanding from their viewpoint on the other side than they did when they were here. And they're saying that they can actually see the brilliance of the light of what we're all projecting. And Jack said it brings tears to his eyes.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful. Well, when I was at Machu Picchu a couple of days ago, I could feel that energy. And actually, when I, let's see, I took a long route to get here. I flew from Vancouver, Canada, Mexico City, Lima, Cusco. But as soon as I got off the plane in Cusco, I could feel the energy and the vibrations go way up. And this town itself has very high vibration. And then when you get up to Machu Picchu, it goes even higher than that. And then when you go up to the very top, you're up about 12,000 feet. And I spent about, must have been about 6 hours up there the other day. I stayed there as long as I could, and then they were about ready to kick me out. So anyway,
But that's the
But,
star brother and sister energy you're feeling. You're
oh, beautiful.
feeling the star brother and sister energy all around you. I can see the blue lights. They're blue sparkling lights all around you. It's beautiful.
Oh, how nice. Thank you. Thank you so much for mentioning that. My Inca brother asked me to read a book about the Incas, so I have been, and I think I got almost to the end of it now. And one of the Inca kings, or Inca emperors that I was really impressed with, a very brave man, and he also treated a lot of his subjects with great humility, even after they went through battle. And I thought that was a really, they didn't kill everybody off. He often acted through the heart. I think that was Inca Virapucha. I think that's correct, isn't it? Virapucha, yeah. Are you able to contact them, by the way, today, Judy? I'm just curious to see what they might have to say.
Well, I see some men in warrior regalia. One that is very strong. He's got dark hair, a kind of a hefty built man. I can see his heart. He's got a good heart. He would be what I call a noble heart, which means he, in general, makes his choices in alignment with the integrity of who he is. And he's just front and center. He's really huge. So I'm asking him if there's anything specific that he wants to share. He loved the fact that you talked about the gentleman who was sharing about the condor and the eagle.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he's saying that is so important to open and put that seed into the consciousness of those that may not have recognized that energy before, but now the coming together in the mind, as it was spoken by that beautiful gentleman, will now awaken them in new ways that they would not have awakened before. So he's saying it's incredibly important that the vibrations of words are felt by all.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. When Jimmy mentioned about the Hopi Indian prophecy about the eagle and the a condor coming together, I think this is part of that process that's starting to happen.
Well, you know, one of the most beautiful things that I think it really touches me deeply is the awareness through especially the standing issue with the water, the consciousness in touch with indigenous cultures to bring about their beautiful wisdom is awakening all over the world. And it's so wonderful because they carry the highest frequency of wisdom. They are so connected in such a truthful, loving way with every form of life. So it's really beautiful that their consciousness is now being rebrought forth in a much broader way, and everybody feels it. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned the water. Actually, this is I'll be having a show on it a week from today, actually, honoring I'll be doing a couple things a week from today. It'll be on water. I'll be having a famous Russian scientist and a famous German scientist on the memory of water, And also, too, I'll be honoring Dr. Emoto. Of course, he passed away about 4 years ago on October 17, 2014, and we all miss him dearly. But mentioning the water, there's a series of water springs at the very top of Machu Picchu. There's 16 different what I would call like bowls or pools that are built into the rock up there, and when I was up there, I took a bag of crystals I brought from the United States, along with some moonstone in the shape of a heart, and I have some rings too that are made of labradorite, and I put them all in the springs. And after about 20-30 minutes, I took them out, and I kid you not, all of them were luminescent. They were glowing. And I have one ring on now. I use it to help me with my psychic abilities. It's called labradorite. It's blue. And before I went up there, the stone itself was rather dark. But ever since then, even now, it's blue and it's glowing. You can, in the dark, you can practically see it in the dark. It has that much energy. And when people were walking by me, all these tourists were walking by me, and they were all attracted to these crystals I put out because they were all glowing. It was kind of a cloudy day, and they asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm getting the healing energy from Machu Picchu and the ancient Inca Indians to bring back home with me. And people were just really interested in it. So I know that the vibrations of the planet are rising, and the ascension is happening right now as we speak.
Also, Dr. Emoto is here, and the Anasazi are here. they're standing in a half circle behind Dr. Emoto. So it's bringing forth the consciousness and the sacred heart of the elder, this conversation. And I can see, as far as my eye can see, I can see the beautiful hearts all around us of the indigenous cultures, representing many cultures.
Beautiful. Boy, that's such a beautiful thing you just said, Judy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. I want to ask, Jimmy came up early and we had a long conversation. He told me many things. I don't want to forget anything because he said a lot of things which were very profound. He said that I needed to absorb all the knowledge of the local people from here, and the ancient knowledge of the Incas here and the Andes to share back when I get back home. He also said that I need to have an Inca name. So I chose the Inca name of Machu Picchu because I feel like I'm at home at Machu Picchu, and it's such a beautiful spot. It's the vibrations are so high. He also told me that Machu Picchu was called the Crystal City. Could you explain a little bit about that, Jimmy, please?
Yeah, because apart Machu Picchu is the Crystal City. Machu Picchu is the heart chakra, no? And many people ask me about Jimmy, how I feel very excited, and sometimes I feel all my feelings in Machu Picchu, because Machu Picchu, the special energy of Machu Picchu war with your heart chakra. And around Machu Picchu, you can find a lot of crystal quartz that is part of the energy of Machu Picchu. Mm-hmm. Some people think that the Machu Picchu and the Inca's ruins only give you energy. No. In the Inca's ring, you not only absorb the energy, you absorb the intelligence and the wisdom and the memory of the stones. That is very important to know, of this time. Yeah.
Wow. One thing I want to ask both you, Judy, and Jimmy here is when the Inca left back in the early part of the 15th century, this beautiful city up there, it wasn't found until about a little less than 500 years later by Hiram Bingham, an American explorer in 1911. And the thing that I'm curious about, did they shield it spiritually so it wouldn't be found, so the Spanish wouldn't destroy it when they came to Peru? Go ahead, Judy.
Well, what I'm getting is it's a combination. The frequency of the Inca Indians themselves were beyond the third dimension. So their entire energy field. It's similar to, I believe it's Jimmy's father.
Right,
Jimmy, is that his name?
Sorry, go ahead, Jimmy.
When I tuned into his father, his father is transparent. I could see him. He walked between the worlds. So that's what it looks like with the Incas. I can see them, but they're in between the worlds, which tells me that the consciousness was beyond third dimension. And so it would make sense if you think about it from that standpoint, because their frequency, energy, and materialization and creating is instantaneous. So they could as instantaneously dissolve their village as they could recreate it.
Wow, that's amazing. That is just amazing. Jimmy told me a little bit about his grandmother and grandfather. His grandmother's 90 years old, and your grandfather is a herbalist or a natural doctor. Is that right?
No, my grandfather he is in another dimension.
Another dimension. Okay.
And he was one of the first. My grandfather, he was one of the first Buddhists from Peru. No, I learned a lot of him when I was child because he has a very humble room in Lima, and I always use it to see the beautiful chantings that he did. No, that this kind of chanting gives me a lot of peace and teach me a lot in this moment. I was very child, but I understand everything that my grandfather did. No, in this time. No.
Wow, interesting. I want to ask Jimmy this question, then followed by you, Judy. What's the significance, according to our Inca friends, of all these fires in Northern California, the hurricanes hitting all these places in Florida and Dominican Republic, or not Dominican Republic, but well, they hit there, but Puerto Rico especially, the flooding in Florida, flooding in Texas. What's the spiritual significance of this, Judy? And I'll ask you first, or Jimmy, you first, Jimmy, and then followed by Judy.
About the hurricanes?
About the hurricanes and these fires and these...
I think this is a... for this kind of countries, is a message of the universe that they need to change the way to think about consciousness. They need to open more the consciousness. No, they are living in a very irrational life. No, it's for open the consciousness. It's for to be more close with the nature and to be more close with the animals, and to change the way to think about humans. No. It's my insight that I received.
Okay. Yeah. All right, gracias. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And I wanted to tell everyone that Jimmy does a wonderful light activation healing workshop here in Peru. And when he comes up, when he comes up to my conference next year in March, he'll be doing one of these activation healing workshops as well, which will be part of the conference. You teach people how to work with light and channel energy, how to meditate as well, how to activate your third eye, aura activation, the meaning of colors, balancing your chakras. There's a whole bunch of things that you do here, how to heal yourself, how to heal others. Psychic messages to contact the spirit world on the other side. It's quite comprehensive, and so I'm really looking forward to having you come up. Okay, good. We got Judy back. Judy, are you there?
I'm right here. What I was explaining was the light that we're living right now is the brightest light that we've had since Atlantis and Lemuria, and it's going down to the pit. To the core of our deepest core pains and our deepest core fears, not only of us as individuals, but of us as a humanity. And in fifth dimension, which is the fifth dimensional frequency, which is what we're activating now, there's no secret. And you're living in your heart space more than 51% of the time. So what's happening is the fires, the floods, all of this is the Earth's way of shifting from the frequencies of third dimension into the more expanded frequencies of love. And any place on the globe that there has been a lot of fear put into the earth by the people and into the waters and into the atmosphere is cleansing. It's absolutely cleansing. And each of the people, if they would think about it, the last 2.5 years, your deepest core pains and your deepest core fears and anything that's imbalanced has been in your face. You can't distract yourself from it. And that's because we're now shifting again. So the Earth is doing the same thing. And Earth asked something of us a couple weeks ago, and I want to just repeat it because the Earth is reminding me. The Earth is saying, please walk gently and mindfully on her, because you bruise her with your energy of anger and rushing and being in the head and not paying attention and stomping and being angry and putting your energy into the earth. Please gently walk on her mindfully and respect her. It would be like somebody wearing cleats, walking all over your arms and gouging into your skin. It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be conscious of how we use our energy in our body and how that's been affecting the earth.
Well, that is really beautiful. What a beautiful message, Judy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Could I ask the earth something, by the way?
Yes.
What is Gaia? What does she do about a country like North Korea that blows up nuclear bombs and harms the earth, or like a company like Monsanto that produces Roundup that kills a lot of that harms the environment and ends up killing a lot of people? What does the earth do about that?
The earth says she forgives it all.
Okay.
And she's saying that love is the only emotion in a frequency that we all feel, that we all share, that takes you to the place of her heart. So she's saying, if you just allow yourself to feel the own love of your own heart, it takes less people to create a change who are connected to their heart and the heart of Gaia. Mm. It doesn't take the whole civilization. It takes a very small percentage. I was given the information by my guide. At one point, the one light creator connected in their heart to the center zero point of who they are in the heart of creation, the heart of creator, is more powerful than 100,000 people that are not.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much
for
sharing
that.
There is a company called, Chris, I want to share one more example of that. There's a company called Crystal Geyser, and I'm getting a prompt from Mother Earth to say something about this. That recently the people down around Mount Shasta have been fighting, and what Crystal Geyser wants to do, it's a huge company, they want to pump all the water out of Mount Shasta and sell them little plastic bottles and send them over. I don't know where they're going to send it, but at any rate, without any kind of environmental review, and the scientists have said it really could wreck the aquifer. So the people down there are fighting it. And there's a lot of been very upset with the local government. The local government, city council, Mount Shasta seems to be totally asleep. But I do see them. I do see the people bringing in this company and forcing them to do an environmental impact statement and actually stopping the project, because the times have changed. You no longer can go in and can pillage the planet and take whatever you want without paying the consequences. And more people than not, there's more people on this planet who want to treat Gaia with respect and not. Pillage the place and just take it for what all the resources that they can get.
Well, I will say to you a message that the whales gave in the early 1980s. The whales said, we are your brothers and sisters, and when we start dying on the food chain, who do you think is next?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Well, back about 5 or 6 years ago, President Obama, who was, I think, controlled, actually, ordered the U.S. Navy to start testing this new sonar device on whales and dolphins around the world, outside of U.S. waters and everywhere they could. And what happened is that there were a lot of whales who died as a result of that. I know off the coast of Chile, it was about, must have been about a year and a half ago, hundreds of beautiful big whales and thousands of dolphins died, and they thought it was because of the testing by the U.S. Navy with the sonar device. Now, no one in their right mind in the United States would ever approve of such a project, and I think the U.S. Navy has finally been stopped by the federal courts because a lawsuit was brought against them. But it's interesting you mentioned that quote, because that brought me right back to where all these whales were dying off the coast of Chile. And but I think they've been stopped from that. I haven't heard of it since then.
The whales are responsible for the morphogenic field of the Earth. The whales are not only the grid keepers, but they're responsible for an avocado tree to produce an avocado and not a strawberry. And the dolphins are responsible for the process of how that happens.
Wow.
So the whale consciousness, the dolphin consciousness, the tree consciousness, and the elephant consciousness is some of the highest frequencies on the planet.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad that you know, our media in the United States, the mass media, is not the greatest. You know, they don't cover a lot of things, and the important subjects I think they kind of ignore. But I think the whales and dolphins are also they give a lot of positive vibration to Mother Earth, and they're helping us ascend into the higher dimensions.
They also, all right now on the planet, all the most painful roles are being played by ascended masters in every form of life to bring attention for us to make a difference and a change in what we value, how we use our energy, and recognizing that every single form of life on this planet is a thread in the weave of life, and no one thread is more important than any other thread.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to ask Jimmy. I'd love to, for you to also bring in the Incas as well, and give their messages on this as well. That we're all one. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that what they're saying?
Perfect. Yeah. Here it's very important that the Earth, for the Incas cosmovision, the Earth is alive. We call Pachamama. No, and I understand that we are killing the Earth. No, some storms, some hurricanes, some tremors, they are part of the inside of the Earth to us. No, to understand that the humans need to stay more close, more share to share our knowledge. No, sometimes we are very selfish with us, and it's the call of the Pachamama. No, we need to share more. No, to share more love, to share more insights, to share more knowledge. No, it's very important. No, because the Pachamama is alive. For example, the Incas, they always every month they offer to the Pachamamas the despacho. No, the despachos are the offering to the Pachamama. Sometimes they offer food, they offer some animals, and they receive with gratitude the universe, for example, more potatoes, more agriculture, no? They are very grateful with the Pachamama. It's the reason that here in Cusco, especially, not many disasters appear, no? Because they love the Mother Earth, the Incas, and the culture of here, they love the Mother Earth. They respect the Mother Earth, and they respect the animals.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Wow. I wanted to ask you, Judy, what other spirits are around today? I think it's fairly crowded, isn't it?
I mean, as far as my eye can see, there's beings here. And like I mentioned, the Anastasi, which are, if you stop and think about it, it made perfect sense because they're relatives of the Hopis. And you were talking about the Hopis. So
that's right.
It made perfect sense. But there's also a Japanese emperor here. There is, I can
really
see Buffalo Bill from the Wild West is here. I can see Chief Joseph, and I can also see Chief Crazy Horse. They are here. I can see a Zulu warrior off to my right. That's what I meant when I said I can see these different cultures represented as we're here on the phone. And it's quite interesting to see such a cross-section. I can see Buddhist monks. I can see so many different beings.
Well, I was told just before I left on this trip that it would be a life-changing experience, and I think it's already happening with me now, actually. I've had, of course, spirits on my program before, but not this many, I don't think.
I also offered to the pools of water that you were talking about that you had those experiences with. I offered the wisdom and the energy of the Andara crystal, which is one of the most powerful crystals on the planet, which comes in and brings in the Lemurian energy. And I also offered Max the crystal skull and the 13 crystal skulls. And Max is here floating in the middle of the room. So see, they're here too. The crystal kingdom.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Jimmy's getting some more messages here. I think he's got one for you, Judy.
Oh, I would love
Judy, nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you, Jimmy. I give you a big hug because you're such a beautiful being.
You have a beautiful white aura. No, you are wonderful. And my spiritual guide said that you are a beautiful light for people. People see in you the light that they need for continue their life, you know, no? Yeah. And you have beautiful angels that always are guiding you. No, it's beautiful, your energy. Only listen to you. I am opening my hair, I am opening my mind, I am healing, no? Thank you so much, because my spiritual guide say that you are not part of this earth, you are from other dimension, your knowledge. Thank you so much for making it.
You make me cry. Yeah. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I love to meet people like you that help me in my spiritual journey, because I am very young, but I feel that I am an old soul, no? And probably
we are brothers and sisters.
Exactly. In other past life, probably you were my mother, my grandmother. That is the reason that today we need to start this connection.
I would love that. I would love that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I am. My dream is to know your country, USA, Canada, Europe, for to show my Andean knowledge, because the mission that I love, the mission of Tech, he said the mission is open the heart of the people, open the mind, and share, because we are here in this world for to share. If we don't share, probably the wisdom, the insights not come in our life, no? We need to share all that we know.
Well, Judy, I want to tell you that Jimmy will be coming to my conference in March 9, 10, and 11 in 2018. And so I'm going to fly him up from Peru. I decided to do that today. And if you can come up, I know you're busy. It would you guys will be able to meet and talk. So
I appreciate that. And Jimmy, I give you the biggest hug from my heart directly to yours, sacred heart to sacred heart.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And yeah, I always, today for me is a very special day, because to meet Ted, to meet you, and probably in the future, to meet in person, that is very important to share in person the energy, no? Mm-hmm. I can say you that you are my master. You open my hair today, you open my mind, and I feel with a lot of energy. It's like I am in Machu Picchu.
But you also, your father, you carry his wisdom, and your father is an exquisitely beautiful being, and so are you.
Of course. My father is very important in my life, because he was the person, he is alive now, he is the person that introduced me in the spiritual world, no? I am very appreciated to my father. He's very...
But like I said, he walks between the worlds. And so do you. And you leave a heart print everywhere you go. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all the heart that you give to the world.
Of course. We have the light workers. We have a mission in this world, no? To open the consciousness and to help the people that they are passing for problems, probably, no?
People need this kind of healing. Yeah.
Mother Mary calls us light creators. She said we've outgrown being light workers when we shifted from third to fourth, and now we're light creators, and we need to stand in our power and be the light creators that we are. That was in 2007. She told me that.
Wow. It's amazing listening to you, Judy, because all words that you say to me are healing to my life and are wisdom and knowledge. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. It's my deep pleasure.
I have to tell you, actually, the vibrations started getting higher as soon as I got off the plane in Lima, Peru. And then they went even higher when I got to Cusco, and then even higher when I got to Machu Picchu. So, and I didn't realize it, but Peru is becoming a light beacon for South America. There's so much spiritual activity here, and I think it's rooted certainly in the Native American culture here. Of course, when the Spaniards came, things were different, and they conquered the place. But on one hand, they did conquer, but on the other hand, they could never conquer the true heart of the Peruvian people, which is full of love. And they still have that here today. And so one of the things that I was really impressed with the Inca leaders when they went out and they expanded their empire through conquest, but many times they would do it not through war, but through gifts and talking it out. And they acted, they didn't, In our battles in the 20th century, for example, we would like to kill off the other side completely with lots of killing, but not the Incas would do it that way. They would not. They treat all of their enemies with kindness and love, because they're a heart-based, love-oriented people.
Well, it's very similar to Gandhi. You do it through nonviolence.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's the high road.
That's right. That's right. Mahatma Gandhi came to me 2 years ago, and he gave me a lot of messages, which is the basis for my book now, Messages from the Masters. But anyway, my goodness. Well, I wanted to ask.
He's here. Do you want me to tell you what he wants to say?
Yes, please. Bring Mr. Sir Gandhi in, please. Thank you.
He's standing right here in front of me, in front of my left side. Here we go. It is with a deep grace that I stand here being able to be a part of this wonderful conversation that is touching hearts all over the world. There is a place in us, in the center of who you are, that knows complete peace. If you made that your goal, that is one of the greatest contributions you can make to what you call world peace. It must start with you. Mm-hmm. It must start with your mind being tranquil and your heart being open and not needing to look at life as tit for tat or revenge or getting even or somehow taking what somebody else has chosen to do and lowering your vibrational frequency to where they are. That is not the path of a peacekeeper. The path of a peacekeeper is to step beyond the ego mind that talks to you about tit for tat and instead come to the place of oneness, which is what Jimmy talked about. The oneness is the key to having us step into the higher mind, the higher part, the one heart of all of creation. Mm-hmm. And when you allow peace to be your goal in your heart, everything works in harmony with everything else. So ask yourself, may I choose to remove the idea of warrior out of my consciousness and bring in the peacekeeper?
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful message! Thank you so much, Mahatma, for sharing that. I appreciate your wisdom, because people are looking for peace today, as they were back in the 20th century too. And you were able to gain independence for India through nonviolent methods, and I think That's really the key. Treat people with love and respect, and that's how you advance. We're nearing the end of our first hour here, and we'll be continuing our next hour in just a few minutes, so please stay tuned. Second and third shaman should be here any minute now. They said they'd be here at about, it's 5 o'clock here in Cusco, Peru. But please stay tuned, friends. We have another incredible hour ahead of us. And Judy, please stand by, and we'll be back online in about an hour. Please, we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you so much.